The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studios. We got lots of news to get to here in The Big Lead at 2. Thanks again to Dave Wyman for coming by for a truly odd and bizarre segment. You're going to have to just check that out in the podcast. And we're off the air if you missed all of that. Okay, but let's get right to The Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So I'm going to talk in just a couple of minutes about this gay wedding cake issue. Because the United States Supreme Court ruled that the baker back in Massachusetts who said that because of his Christian faith, he did not want his art to be used for a ceremony with which he fundamentally disagreed. And I've heard so much rhetoric about, what a hateful person he is if you won't bake a cake for a gay wedding ceremony. And you've heard that about the florist in the Tri-Cities. And I've been very open and honest throughout my career of where I am on that. In fact, I believe, because it was my first month on the air 23 years ago, when, I had conservatives in this state. They hated me. Because I think I was the first talk show host in Seattle who said that I was all for civil unions for homosexual couples. I said, I absolutely believe that gay couples should have the exact same legal rights as a heterosexual couple. And I think it should be called a civil union. And I said, now, I do not think we should change the definition of the word marriage, which through centuries and tradition, marriage has been defined as the union of a man and a woman. And I thought, they are fundamentally different. A gay union versus a heterosexual union. And I never saw anything. And it wasn't because of bigotry. It was that I thought they're different. Why not have different terms for them? But I was one of the first who said gay couples should have the exact same legal rights. But I still feel that way. I've always thought of a wedding as the union of a man and a woman. And I think it is odd, and I think it's for reasons of political correctness that we change the definition of words when it's unnecessary. So I'll get into that with the whole cake thing and florist thing, because I spoke exclusively to the attorney for Baronelle Stutzman, who's might be next up in the Supreme Court. But I wanted to tell you a story about a young woman who plays professional soccer for the North Carolina Courage. Her name is Jaylene Hinkle. Jaylene was, at a very young age, she was identified as an absolutely terrific soccer player. She grew up in a house that had very strong Christian faith. She went to a private Christian high school, and she was so talented, she went on to play college soccer at Texas Tech, huge soccer school, and then she is now playing for the North Carolina Courage in the Women's Professional Soccer League. And then she found out she's so good that she was going to be invited to play for the U.S. Women's National Team.
When you honestly take a second and like step back and almost have like that outer body experience of just, I'm being invited to play the game I love for my country. There's an emblem of the U.S. flag on your chest. Like, that's huge.
It's as big as it gets. So this young woman has played at the highest level at every age she's been, and now she was going to have an opportunity to play for the U.S. women's national team. But there was one challenge for her, and it was a spiritual challenge from her perspective. The jersey that the U.S. women's national team was going to wear for two friendlies that they had scheduled had in huge letters LGBTQ. And she said, well, I understand honoring the community, but because of my Christian faith, I don't want to be seen as somebody who is promoting that. And she said, I have no problem with people being gay, but as a Christian, I disagree with the life, with the acts that come with it. And so she said she had to decide, am I going to play for the U.S. national team, which has been a dream of hers since she was a little girl, or is she going to do what she thought her faith was calling her to do? And so she prayed on it.
I just felt so convicted in my spirit that it wasn't my job to wear this jersey. And I gave myself 3 days to just seek and pray and determine what he was asking of me to do in the situation.
Okay. So she went to the Lord in prayer and she decided that, no, I don't want to promote that. So she didn't in any grandstanding way, she didn't say, I'm going to sue you if you make me wear that, or I'm going to cover it up with a shirt. She just said, you know, if that's what you're asking of the players on this team, I will respectfully decline to be on the U.S. women's national team. And she said, I just had to do what was right for me in my personal faith.
I'm essentially giving up the one dream little girls dream about their entire life, and I'm saying no too. It was very disappointing. And I think that's where the peace trumped the disappointment, because I knew in my spirit I was doing the right thing. I knew that I was being obedient. And like, just because you're obedient doesn't make it easy.
Okay. And so she has declined the invitation of her dream. And she says for her, it was the right decision.
I don't question his goodness. Like, I know he's good. I know he's faithful. And if I never get a national team call up again, like, that just is part of his plan, and that's okay. And maybe this was why you were meant to play soccer.
And so the dream is over for her to play on the U.S. team for Jalene Hinkle. She's not threatening a lawsuit. She wasn't making a stink about it. She wasn't doing it for self-aggrandizement. So her North Carolina Courage team, the pro team that she plays for, they had a match in Portland last week. And the word started spreading throughout the, you know, wild-eyed liberal Portland community that this woman didn't want to wear the LGBTQ jersey. And so throughout the game down in Portland, every time she touched the ball, the people would start booing her in the stand. Boo! Because she didn't conform. Because she didn't do as the army of the politically correct would demand of her. She wasn't part of the indoctrination of you must do what political correctness says you must do, not what any other guiding force in your life. And this is where we've gotten as a society. For so many people, their guiding light in life is, how can I be politically correct? It has nothing to do with personal character or convictions, or even a well-thought-out analysis of whatever issue any of us is wrestling with. It was just, if somebody tells you to wear the LGBTQ jersey, you got to wear it or we will boo you. And it is absolutely disgusting that this is how a non-self-aggrandizing, again, she was not doing this to bring attention to herself. It's just that she was invited to play on the national team. She chose not to for deeply personal reasons. And now in other aspects of her professional soccer life, she is getting booed because she's a person of personal convictions. Now, in many ways, Portland is just an absolutely crazy town where conformity is the most important thing, very much like Seattle. In broad swaths of Seattle, there's nothing more important than conformity. And there are a lot of people in the media who base their opinion on the path of least resistance. Lord knows, I got lots of resistance in my pathway. Because I just look at everything individually and evaluate it on my own merit. In my business life, my closest and longest business associate is a gay guy who I've had a professional relationship with for 17 years now. And, you know, he's much more liberal than I. I don't care about that. I don't care about anything. I don't care about his being gay, any of that stuff. He's a great guy. He's done a lot for me professionally, and I've done a lot for him professionally. None of that matters. But I'm not going to alter my position that, you know, I've always had that. But for me, civil unions made sense. Changing the definition of a word did not. And there are a lot of people who, like those mindless morons down in Portland that boo this girl every time she touches the ball, they just hate my show because I'm not politically correct. Because I haven't come around to the way of thinking that I've been ordered by the forces, the progressive forces around here. It's just, it's sad, though. It's really sad to hear this 25-year-old young woman who made a decision based on her faith and is pilloried for it. It's not surprising. It's just really sad. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
And that does bring me to that Supreme Court decision that came down yesterday that said, and it's complex. I don't want to boil this down too much to just a soundbite. But the United States Supreme Court said the baker who said, I do not want to use my art, my talent, in First Amendment, you have the freedom of speech, and art is an expression of speech. And he said, I choose not to use that in a ceremony that I fundamentally disagree with for reasons of faith. And also, the Human Rights Commission in his state compared him to Nazi when they were telling him that he must bake a cake. It's very much like the witch hunt that our Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, has been on against Baronelle Stutzman, the florist, in the Tri-Cities, who also, for reasons of faith, said, I will sell my, and these guys were friends of hers. They were customers. She knew they were gay. She had no problem selling them flowers, being customers, being friends. But when they said, will you do your art for our wedding ceremony? She said, no, that's not consistent with my faith, and I'd rather not participate in your wedding ceremony. Well, as you know, Bob Ferguson is now trying to destroy this woman, Baronelle Stutzman. I talked to her attorney, Jim Campbell, and asked him, how does this baker story affect the florist in the Tri-Cities now? How does yesterday's Supreme Court ruling affect our Tri-Cities florist?
So, you know, we can't know for sure at this point, but what the court said in yesterday's ruling was that the government cannot be hostile towards the religious beliefs about marriage held by people like Jack Phillips in that case and Baronelle Stutzman in the case in Washington. Such hostility exists whenever the government treats those people of faith worse than other business owners. And so we believe that the record in the case that was decided yesterday, just like the record in the case involving Baronel Stutzman, shows evidence of that sort of anti-religious hostility. And we believe for that reason that the decision the court issued yesterday should help Baronel ultimately prevail in her case.
And Bob Ferguson has made it his mission to destroy this woman. Again, because she has not bowed to the altar of political correctness in our state. That if somebody is making a decision about their person or property, in this case a business, based on solid religious convictions, that they are not to be molested. And yet here you have the Attorney General trying to destroy and bankrupt this woman.
Yeah, so what you essentially have is the Attorney General finding out about this situation with Baronel Stutzman. And what he did is he had a choice. He could have respected her religious freedom, which, as you just acknowledged, is protected not only under the state constitution, but also under the federal constitution. Or he could have done what he did, which is set out on an unprecedented path to pursue prosecution against her, to make an example of her, and ultimately to crush her for trying to live her life and operate her business consistent with her beliefs. And so we know the path that he chose. He didn't respect her faith. He didn't respect her religious beliefs about marriage. He decided to set out on this prosecution against her. And ultimately, again, doing unprecedented things in the process. He bypassed the administrative process that's set out to handle situations like this. He brought his own lawsuit based off just reading about this in the media and hearing about it through social media. This clearly shows a state attorney general that was out to get Baronel Stutzman simply because he disagrees with her beliefs about marriage. And we think that the similar animosity towards religion existed in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case that the Supreme Court decided yesterday. And we're hopeful that the Supreme Court will ultimately vindicate Baronel just like it vindicated Jack Phillips.
But I tell you what, and I've said this for a long time, this is why I consider Bob Ferguson, our state attorney general, to be as dangerous a politician as I've encountered in my time watchdogging government. The law being used as a weapon and as a protector, depending on where somebody is on the ideological spectrum. And I find that really frightening when government delves into that realm.
It certainly is, and I think that that's part of what the Supreme Court was touching on in the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision. It was touching on this hostility, this favoritism of one side over the other. And the Supreme Court said that the First Amendment forbids that. There is no place for that, particularly when you're dealing with people of faith who have specific protection under the Free Exercise Clause. So what we're hopeful is that the Supreme Court will see some of the parallels between what happened in Masterpiece Cake Shop and what happened to Baronel Stutzman in Washington, and ultimately that the Supreme Court will vindicate Baronel's right to live and work consistent with her beliefs.
Or will the tyranny of the left continue to prevail here in Washington? It's going to be really interesting to watch. And that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news, and then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Coming up next. Tell you what, in just moments, I'm going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the hottest team in baseball, the Seattle Mariners. We're going to give away tickets in just a moment, but first, we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, as you just heard from Ursula, Howard Schultz thinking about running for president. He talked on CNBC today. The biggest difference between him and Donald Trump?
Number three.
When you're talking about a CEO in terms of public office, there is a very big difference between someone who has run a global enterprise like myself, who has traveled to China probably more than any other CEO in the last 10 years, who understands those issues, versus someone who's run a private company with very little fiduciary responsibility to other shareholders. And I'm not saying that as good or bad, but there's a big difference. And so I think, yes, President Trump has given license to the fact that someone who's not a politician could potentially run for the presidency. Whether or not that has anything to do with me will remains to be seen.
Okay. It sounds like he really wants to be president. LeBron James weighing in as they're approaching game three of the NBA Finals, and his Cavs are down 2-0. As you know, Trump disinvited the Philadelphia Eagles when a bunch of the team said they wouldn't show up at the White House today after winning the Super Bowl. What about if your Cavs win the NBA championship? LeBron, will you go see the president at the White House?
Number two.
Winning a World Series or winning an NBA championship or a national championship is way bigger than getting invited to the White House, especially with him in there.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry about it because you're down 2-0 and your team has very little chance. At number one, the Daily Caller website in Washington, D.C., this shows just how sick some people in our country are. They went out and they asked a question. You know, the MS-13 gang, murderous illegals, rape and kill little girls. That's what they're all about. Conquer, rape, murder. So they went out and they asked a bunch of millennials in Washington, D.C., who would you rather choose to date? A member of MS-13 or a Trump supporter?
Number one.
Which one would you date? An MS-13 gang member or a Trump supporter?
Oh, gang member.
Give it a gang member!
So I'm going to go MS-13.
Yeah, probably MS-13 member.
MS-13.
MS-13, all the way.
Neither. I'll stay single.
It's embarrassing that I don't know what an MS-13 gang member is. Can someone tell me what that is? I'm not going to date either of them, I don't think.
I guess a Trump supporter, because I guess at least they stand for something.
MS-13. Why? Why an MS-13?
Because I lived in Bolivia, so I understand a little bit of the culture.
Not for the Trump supporters. No, I mean, your choice is your choice, but not for me.
What if it was Kylie?
Ooh, what sauce are you on? Still not a Trump supporter, but probably MS-13 gang member.
Yeah, a lot of Trump supporters were probably raised by rich white dads and people with lots and lots of money, and they're bred into being Trump supporters. I'm from Connecticut, and I can tell you 80% of the girls in high school would say that they were Republican when they were in high school because their dads were rich white dads, and they had no idea what Republican even meant.
Those are Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day on 97.3 Cairo FM.
What dazzlingly well thought out comments by the young folks there. Okay, gonna give away some Mariner tickets. The fifth caller right now at 888-97.3 Cairo. 888-973-5476. You're going to win two tickets to the June 15th Mariner game when they face the Red Sox at 7:10 p.m. Fans are invited to stick around after the game to enjoy the first fireworks show of the summer. Find your tickets today at mariners.com, and you can hear the entire Red Sox series on 7:10 ESPN Seattle. Fifth caller right now, 888-973 Cairo, and today's song is next. Stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. I got a lot of stories that I still have to get to here. We shan't tarry a bit as we launch into today's blockbuster edition of
Today's Sign That the End Is Near.
Today's sign the world's soon coming to an end. Well, it did come to an end for an 80-year-old Minnesota woman. She died last week. Kathleen Demlo passed away last Thursday. I hope that when I go, I will be remembered a little bit more fondly by my family than Kathleen Demlo's family seems to remember her. Let me just read to you the obit that they placed in their hometown newspaper, the Redwood Falls Gazette. Kathleen Demlo Kathleen was born on March 19th, 1938, to Joseph and Gertrude Schunk of Wabasso. She married Dennis Demlow at St. Anne's in Wabasso in 1957 and had two children, Gina and Jay. In 1962, she became pregnant by her husband's brother, Lyle Demlow, and moved to California. She abandoned her children, Gina and Jay, who were then raised by her parents, Mr. and Mrs. Joseph Schunk. She passed away on May 31st, 2018 in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her.
Man, like I said, I just hope my family has a little bit nicer things to say about me. Of course, it's been on Twitter. It's been shared tens of thousands of times. A majority of the users poked fun at Kathleen's romancing. Several more applauded Jay and Gina for not holding back with their obit. But some people said, no, the newspaper shouldn't have published it. And there's no place for some personal family vendetta to have played out. So people are somewhat divided on it. But Kathleen, may she rest in peace. Today's science story number two. The Seattle Times made a big deal that they hired the former PI editorial cartoonist David Horsey. And I'm not in the business of critiquing other media that much. But I've seen a few of Horsey's cartoons in the Times now. And the majority, unless I've missed some local ones, the majority of them are about Trump. Like the one they have today, it's the Statue of Liberty, but she kind of looks like Trump holding a torch that's just been extinguished, saying, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, and I'll lock them up and take away their children." Holding the book America First, and they spelled America, A-M-E-R-I-K-A, because that's always so hip and relevant. Nobody's ever thought of that before. And here's the thing. They can do whatever they want there at the Seattle Times. But I don't understand, and I've said this about local talk shows, I do not understand when there is so much going on in Seattle and Tacoma and Everett and Bremerton, Bellingham, Arlington, Salton, Pierce County, throughout Olympia. There is so much going on around here to make fun of, to comment on, to try to hold local officials accountable. And yet we still have local media, whether it be some talk shows or the Seattle Times big getting David Horsey, and they spend their time on Trump. And they're afraid to do so. And my beef isn't that they're, you know, going after Trump because I love Trump. That's not it at all. It's how tone deaf it is. If you don't think that there are, let's say you are someone who cannot stand the president and you want to ridicule him every chance you get. If you don't understand that there are every bit as many things going on here locally with politicians equally ridiculous that could be made fun of, why in the world, when everybody else in the country is doing Trump stuff, you know, every late night television talk show is doing Trump stuff, the cable news networks are around the clock Trump, what's the one thing that local media can deliver on better than anybody else in the country? It's local news. And believe me, Sawant is much wackier than Donald Trump. And so is Mike O'Brien. And the fact that we had an accused child rapist
as mayor of this city, and we still have people on the city council and in Durkin's administration that defended him, tried to keep him in the office. The fact that our current mayor of Seattle is a robot. Why'd you focus on Trump if you're Seattle media and there's so much locally? Is it because you're afraid? You're afraid that you're not going to be invited to those cool Friday night cocktail parties if you say anything even remotely negative about the one party that's in control around here? It's tone deaf. It's clueless. It's cowardly. When there are so many rich targets in the local news for all of these lazy people in the media to just say, I hate Trump. Are you with me? And then they're mindless buffoon readers and listening. Yeah, well, we hate him too. Woo. It's boring. It's not serving a local audience. All right, today's signed story number three. Speaking of Trump, he has disinvited the Philadelphia Eagles. Having won the Super Bowl, the Eagles, of course, were going to be invited to the White House for a meet and greet. We got any Eagles music? Of course we have Eagles music. So apparently a bunch of the Eagles players said, yeah, we're not going to go to the White House. We don't like Trump. And they are free to do so. I got no beef with that. It started to look like there were only going to be 10 to 15 players on the team showing up at the White House. And apparently, Donald Trump thought that would be embarrassing to have such a tiny turnout. Now, the problem is there are a lot of fans of the Eagles from Philadelphia who are going to come down to Washington, D.C. so that they can be part of the White House ceremony. And so the president said, yeah, we're still going to have a ceremony. We're just going to celebrate the national anthem that the players won't stand for. Life in the fast lane surely makes you lose your mind. Life in the fast lane. And the White House issued a statement. And this is a dopey statement by the president. They said they, meaning the Eagles players, they disagree with their president because he insists that they proudly stand for the national anthem, hand on heart, in honor of the great men and women of our military and the people of our country. That's just dopey. The president shouldn't be insisting that anybody do anything. It's not his job. It's not his role. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. And I got to get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for today. But I'm going to think of a bunch of new stuff when we get back together tomorrow. Ron and Don coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. And
is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.